need to be in a quiet place but want to hear the service, you are welcome to go to the East Room, out the rear door and to your right. The Share the Plate recipient for June is Collaborative Support Programs of New Jersey. They have recently developed several homeless support partnerships, providing services in several counties to individuals who are both homeless and have a mental illness, providing an alternative to inpatient hospitalization. In addition, I guess there are no other special announcements this morning. Before our service begins, please turn to those sitting near you and say, good morning. Thank you for turning off your cell phones as we now enter into this time of reflection and celebration. Welcome again to this place of love and hope.
So this group is called the Impromptu Singers because we just met this morning and learned this song, beautiful words. And if you know this Harry Chapin song on the chorus at the end, you're welcome to please join in.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day and happy summer solstice day, or coming soon summer solstice. These words are about summer warmth. We stand on the edge of summer. The sun has at last warmed us enough that we begin to trust in its presence. Last burst of spring blossoms, lavender and white and deep pink banks of rhododendron are giving way to summer roses now. O source of the turning seasons, of earth, of life, of promise gradually becoming fulfillment, may your people find a lightening of the burdens with the brightening of the sky. Now I'd love to invite up Tom Brown to light our chalice. Tom has been serving with style in our kitchen for how many years now?
A while.
Would you light the chalice for us, please, sir? Tom is getting ready to take off to Colorado to try a new life out there. And we send you with Godspeed and all of our love. And if you ever feel like coming back, you know you have a home here.
Absolutely. And yeah. Visitors are welcome.
All right. We'll take you up on that, too.
Unless you're
allergic to bats. Thank you, Tom.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the dads attending our service this morning. My name is Joe Donahue, and I have the honor of serving as the chair for the Committee on Congregational Ministry, better known as COCOM. The purpose of COCOM is to support UUCMC, the institution, and its congregation members and friends in the fulfillment of its UU principles, mission, vision, ethical traditions, and desire for community. As part of its mission, COCOM sponsors surveys, focus groups, and liaisons with the other governance bodies and the ministry professionals. It also acts as a confidential mediation service for intra-congregational and interpersonal disputes upon request. A few years ago, COCOM was invited by the board and its then president, Rich Goldberg, to participate in the formation of a new 5-year strategic action plan for our congregation for the years 2016 through 2021. Among the recommended actions that would enable UUCMC to move toward the fulfillment of its 5-year goals of creating community, transforming ourselves and transforming the world was to improve the way we support our volunteer leaders. In May of 2016, COCOM selected as one of its three goals for the years 2016-2017 to assist in the establishment of a volunteer support program, specifically to conduct an annual survey of volunteers to solicit their feedback and to conduct a volunteer acknowledgement event. To these ends, feedback regarding our volunteer process was collected in September 2016, and recommendations were made to our board and council. And we are presently in the midst of administering an end-of-the-year survey, which I encourage all of you to participate in. In terms of a volunteer recognition event, COCOM, with the financial assistance of our board, thank you so much, is sponsoring an ice cream party immediately after our service to thank all our volunteers who graciously give so much of their time, effort, and talents on behalf of our congregation. Among the many joys of being part of this congregation is the sense of community that is fostered by the volunteer spirit that is so noticeably evident at UUCMC. We sincerely wish to thank all our volunteers who display generosity, a willingness to give your time and share your talents, compassion, a desire to truly care about making this world a better place now and in the future, patience, even though the process doesn't always go as smoothly as it might, and dedication, the ability to stick with a project or cause and see it through. At this time, please join me in a responsive reading, which can be found in your order of service. Your response will be, "And so we thank you." When there was a need, you came forward, and so we thank you. In the nighttime or daytime, on weekends, and even in the coldest, darkest part of the year, you helped. Elected and duly appointed, or quietly, anonymously, and unbidden, you did what needed doing. Sometimes with the help of many hands, other times alone, you worked. You gave your time, talent, and even your treasure for the life of the congregation. Your families and loved ones supported you in your efforts, worried for you when things piled up, and perhaps grumbled at you for the extent of your commitment. And for all things, great and small, you have given this congregation, we take time today to recognize and to thank you and to honor you. I'd like to invite some other members of COCOM present here today to join me, Denise Fredericks, Woody Ross, and Vanessa Murphy, to join me for the next part of our service. Today's mission is to give thanks for the people who make UUCMC so special and so great. We are truly blessed with your energy and commitment to this congregation, so that we can all behold those who have served this congregation this year and express our thanks to you, would you please stand as we call out your group? The Board of Governance. Please stand if you served on the Board of Governance. The Council.
Chairs of committees and subcommittees, those serving on committees, those helping with the buildings and grounds, leaf rakers, mulch spreaders, and Bob's Fix It Up gang.
Helping with the caring committees, Sunday service support, ushers, greeters, sound, and volunteers, RE teachers for children and youth.
Adult RE program leaders, dialogue, community readings, and support groups, please stand. Covenant circles, please stand. And staff, please stand.
musicians and choir members, those who marched and worked for social justice, social action movies and program participants, children and youth attending classes, adults attending classes and programs. If you gave your time and effort to attend our services, please stand. If you're a visitor, please join us in standing, for your presence continues to make this congregation the vibrant community it is. Is there anyone or any group I've missed? If so, please stand. We really enjoy it when everyone is standing as one community, one congregation. Please give yourselves a big round of applause. You certainly deserve it. Please be seated. Remember, all your dedicated work and effort has earned you a free ice cream sundae this morning. Did you expect money? We'll start approximately 15 minutes after our service in our community room. Everyone is invited. Don't forget to fill out your surveys. If you'd like to speak further about the volunteer process, COCOM members will be available to talk to you in our community room. Thank you again for all you do. I leave you with the following anonymous poem that I've tweaked just a little. Thanks for all the little things, the done and then forgotten things, the oh, it's simply nothing things that makes our congregation much brighter. Thanks for the unobtrusive, friendly things, and never mind the troubled things, and won't you let me help you things. You've made our hearts much lighter.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, everyone. And now our children will go off to their summer RE program. It's going to be in the community room. Jen and Abby LaFontaine are going to be there to work with you on projects on the summer solstice. And we'll sing Go Now in Peace. Now we'll take this morning's offering to share with Collaborative Support Programs of New Jersey. Thank you so much for your generosity. So our reading this morning is excerpted from Robin Wall Kimmerer's book, Braiding Sweetgrass. She is a member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation and a renowned botanist. You could smell ripe strawberries before you saw them, the fragrance mingling with the smell of sun on damp ground. It was the smell of June, the last day of school when we were set free, and the strawberry moon. I'd lie on my stomach in my favorite patches, watching the berries grow sweeter and bigger under the leaves. Each tiny wild berry was scarcely bigger than a raindrop, dimpled with seeds under the cap of leaves. From that vantage point, I could pick only the reddest of the red, leaving the pink ones for tomorrow. Even now, after more than 50 strawberry moons, finding a patch of wild strawberries still touches me with a sensation of surprise, a feeling of unworthiness and gratitude for the generosity and kindness that comes with as an unexpected gift, wrapped in red and green. After 50 years, they still raise the question of how to respond to their generosity. Sometimes it feels like a silly question with a very simple answer: eat them. But I know that someone else has wondered these same things. In our creation stories, the origin of strawberries is important. Sky Woman's beautiful daughter, whom she carried in her womb from Sky World, grew in the good green earth, loving and loved by all the other things. But tragedy befell her when she died giving birth to her twins. Heartbroken, Sky Woman buried her beloved daughter in the earth. Her final gifts, our most revered plants, grew from her body. The strawberry arose from her heart. In Potawatomi, the strawberry is the heartberry. We recognize them as the leaders of the berries, the first to bear fruit. Strawberries first shaped my view of a world full of gifts simply scattered at your feet. A gift comes to you through no action of your own, free, having moved toward you without your beckoning. It's not a reward. It cannot be earned or call it to you or even deserve it. And yet it appears. Your only role is to be open-eyed and present. Gifts exist in a realm of humility and mystery. As with random acts of kindness, we do not know their source. I experienced the world in that time as a gift economy. Goods and services not purchased, but received as gifts from the earth. Gifts from the earth or from each other establish a particular relationship, an obligation of sorts to give, to receive, and to reciprocate. It's funny how the nature of an object, let's say it's a strawberry or even a pair of socks, is so changed by the way it comes into your hands as a gift or a commodity. A pair of wool socks that I buy at the store are warm and cozy. I might feel grateful for the sheep that made the wool and the worker who ran the knitting machine, but I have no inherent obligation to those socks as a commodity, as private property. There's no bond beyond the polite exchange thank you with the clerk. But what if those very same socks were knitted by any grandmother and given to me as a gift? That changes everything. A gift creates ongoing relationship. I will write a thank you note, and I will reciprocate with another gift. As the scholar and writer Lewis Hyde notes, it's the cardinal difference between gift and commodity exchange that a gift establishes a feeling bond between two people. That is the fundamental nature of gifts. They move and their value increases with their passage. The more something is shared, the greater its value becomes. It's hard to grasp for societies steeped in the notions of private property, where others are, by definition, excluded from sharing. Practices such as posting land against trespass, for example, are expected and accepted in a property economy, but are unacceptable in an economy where land is seen as a gift to all. What I mean, of course, is that our human relationship with strawberries is transformed by our choice of perspective. It is human perception that makes this world a gift. When we view the world this way, strawberries and humans alike are transformed. The relationship of gratitude and reciprocity thus developed can increase the evolutionary fitness of both plant and animal. A species and a culture that treat the natural world with respect and reciprocity will surely pass on genes to ensuing generations with a higher frequency than the people who destroy it. The stories we choose to shape our behaviors have adaptive consequences. And so ends our reading. So it must be June, since we've reached the last in my series on our UU sources of wisdom and authority, just in time for strawberry season. To recap, the sources in our list that follows the seven principles were the direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder, the words and deeds of prophetic women and men, wisdom from the world's religions, Jewish and Christian teachings that call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors, humanist teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science, and spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. This last source is a later addition to the first set. It was added in 1995 to the original five that had been approved in 1984, along with the seven principles. As you might imagine, the change came about with some conflict. Being a living tradition always takes that kind of hard work. In those intervening 10 years, earth-centered spirituality had emerged as a new force to be reckoned with in our congregations. The stress came at the place where rational religion and spirituality seemed to be unreconcilable. A love of nature-based ritual and mystery came up against a humanist tradition of free thought and inquiry. It was almost as if our right brains and left brains could live without each other, right? The split, the tension played out in this congregation as well as it did in so many others. It was, for a time, an either-or fight, one that I think we have now moved beyond for the most part. At the heart of this new and really very old way of seeing the world was a different way of being on the earth and with the earth. This earth-centered view challenged the patriarchal and colonizing ways that humans have used the earth and her creatures as commodity to be bought and sold for our consumption and benefit. The human domination of nature was called into question. While some of the practices of spirituality groups and earth-centered ritual groups that were prevalent in the 80s and 90s in our congregation seem to be less common now, this earth-centered philosophy has really taken hold in the mainstream of UU thought and practice. It stands in the stream of Emerson and Thoreau and Rachel Carson and today's climate change activism. In its critique of patriarchy, it also intersects with anti-racism and our new understandings of systems of white supremacy, which rely on that patriarchy and power over and the rape and pillage of the earth in order to be sustained. It is all connected and quite visible to the naked eye if you look for it. One form of oppression is linked to the other, and not surprisingly, they all benefit the same few people of this planet while disempowering so many others. The archaeology of the written text of our sources reveals those stories of conflict and their eventual resolution, and then synthesis into new ideas in the mainstream. Yet we need all of these points of view, along with others we haven't even dreamed of yet, to stay true to our ideal of being that living tradition. And arguing is one way we stay in relationship. Earth-centered spirituality is a big family of traditions. It includes Native American spirituality, modern witchcraft, neo-paganism, contemporary feminist theology, and neo-shamanistic groups. It includes the spiritual perspectives of the environmental and sustainability movement, like deep ecology. It is a big family with lots of member traditions which at times can seem profoundly different. But even so, key similarities are there to prove that they do indeed belong in this one family. What they have in common is the conviction that nature is the truest Bible, that natural cycles and processes are sources of truth. In the West, philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau in the 18th century made it a first principle to go to nature to find one's true happiness and authentic heart. The second key similarity is the experience of animism and the explanation of that through pantheism. Animism attributes consciousness and intent to all the forms that earth, air, fire, and water can take. Henry David Thoreau professed animism when he said once, "I was so distinctly made aware of the presence of something kindred to me, even in scenes which we are all accustomed to call wild and dreary. I thought no place could ever be strange to me again." His relationship to place was as real as any human relationship could be. And that's the essence of pantheism, which says that the divine is in nature, and nature is in the divine. All things are animated by the same sacredness, and sacredness is in all things, not just human beings. Ralph Waldo Emerson, another UU ancestor, proclaims pantheism when he says, "Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of the universal being circulate through me. I am part and parcel of God." Which leads us to the third family resemblance that helps us identify these various traditions as earth-centered. That's polytheism, Belief in many gods, not just one. Belief in many gendered gods, not just male ones. One view in the pagan community is that these polytheistic deities are not viewed as literal entities, but something like Jungian archetypes or other psychological constructs that exist in the human psyche, and we reflect in our images of gods and goddesses. Other similarities include an emphasis on ritual and seasonal festivals, like Wicca's Wheel of the Year. This Wheel of the Year influences our worship practices here, when we note the power of the changing seasons and the lessons to be learned there. So today, we are fast approaching midsummer and the summer solstice, when the nights are short and the days are long. And then we are at this moment when gratitude bubbles over and has to be expressed. Which brings me to the gift economy that underlies this circular and deeply related view of life. The directness of experience and the wide open sacred text of nature cannot be bought and sold and still keep its sacred quality. This is exactly what Robin Kimmerer is saying in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. To commodify the gifts of the earth is to destroy a whole way of being in the world. These are gifts whose only demand is unending gratitude, a gratitude that fundamentally changes our experience of life and sustains and increases that life. Kimmerer explains, from the viewpoint of a private property economy, the gift is deemed to be free because we obtain it free of charge or at no cost. But in the gift economy, gifts are anything but free. The essence of the gift is that it creates a set of relationships. The currency of a gift economy is at its root reciprocity. In Western thinking, private land is understood to be a bundle of rights, whereas the gift economy property has a bundle of responsibilities attached to it. It is human perception that makes this world a gift. When we view the world this way, strawberries and humans alike are transformed. The relationship of gratitude and reciprocity that develops can increase the evolutionary fitness of both plant and animal. A species and a culture that treat the natural world with respect will surely pass on genes to ensure generations with a higher frequency than the people who destroy it. Lewis Hyde has made extensive study of gift economies. He finds that objects will remain plentiful because they are treated as gifts. A gift relationship with nature is a formal give and take that acknowledges our participation in and dependence upon natural increase. We tend to respond to nature as part of ourselves, not a stranger or alien available for exploitation. Gift exchange is the commerce of choice, for it is commerce that harmonizes with and participates in the process of nature's increase. So such a gift economy is a great example of the circularity of life itself. And it's also a great example of the volunteer commitments that drive this voluntary association we call a congregation. The time, talent, and treasure that each of you offers to this enterprise need to be seen as gifts that change the very nature of our relationships and our experience of life itself. Our efforts to create a community that is not based upon the exchange of goods and services is deeply countercultural. We fight this overwhelming pressure to pay to play and get what we want without any responsibility in return. That's a system that was created and built to dehumanize us and take what it wants from the very earth itself without consequence. Instead, a volunteer community is fundamentally built upon that different premise. It's built upon the idea that volunteer time, talent, and treasures are gifts to be used well and never abused. A volunteer is a gift. Therefore, we do not waste them or treat them poorly. We make every effort to create volunteer opportunities that are good matches for individual gifts and interests, that genuinely contribute to the betterment of all. A volunteer is a gift that comes with a deep responsibility to a web of connection that is beautiful and life-sustaining. This is why I am glad for this sixth source. It connects me to my home and my Bible, the earth, and it calls me to live as if everything is a gift. When everything is a gift, the ground beneath my feet, the sky, the trees, the animals, my body, and yours, I hold them in a different way. A gift demands my appreciation and respect. These gifts are holy in the sense that they make us whole. Our dignity is restored, as is the dignity of every person, place, and thing. For all the hours, days, and nights of work and worry on behalf of this congregation, I am thankful. For all the planning, the goals, and their execution, for all we do and are, and all we have not yet done, I am so thankful. For the fresh flowers planted around the building just for our delight, I am grateful. For the children carefully taught and the commitments to show up for each other, I give thanks. For your presence and witness in this world gone mad, I give thanks. For hot coffee and hearty bagels and ice cream with toppings, I am so grateful. May all these gifts be received with open hearts. May we see the humanity in our tears and frustrations, and in our never-ending joy in this home that we have been given as a gift. May it be so. Amen. Thank you, Louise. Please join me in a time of prayer and meditation. Each week we share our joys and sorrows, and this week I want to send our healing wishes to April Mackenzie Creech while she's home recovering from surgery, and to George Wilner, who's recovering from a fall, and for all the fathers who nurture and give their all to raise up the children in peace. May all these joys and sorrows, spoken and unspoken, find the love that is possible within the circle of this community. This is a prayer for earth teachings. Earth, teach me stillness as the grasses are stilled with light. Earth, teach me suffering as old stones suffer with memory. Earth, teach me humility as blossoms are humble with beginning. Earth, teach me caring as the mother who secures her young. Earth, teach me as the tree which stands all alone. Earth, teach me limitation as the ant which crawls on the ground. Earth, teach me freedom as the eagle which soars in the sky. Earth, teach me resignation as the leaves which die in the fall. Earth, teach me regeneration as the seed which rises in the spring. Earth, teach me to forget myself as melted snow forgets its life. Earth, teach me to remember kindness as dry fields weep with rain.
From strengthened in love, will be peace in your heart until the end.
Amen.